Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Hallelujah. Come on, if you're excited, can you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Today, God will be showing us mercy, and a lot of us will be drawn into the path of our destinies because the power of God will be here to wrought wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to first start by celebrating our daddy. Can we put our hands together for our father, Reverend Dr. Joseph Ushie? Can we celebrate him? Thank you, sir. We are honored. I'm aware that many of our mommies and daddies also made out time out of their obviously very busy schedules to be here. Can we honor them with a special round of applause? All the ministers who have labored and have ministered in one capacity or another, we honor and we celebrate you. Pray that God continues to cause His light to shine over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, in a minute, before we take our seats, can you just cry to God for an encounter? Don't let me return as I came. Don't let me go back the same way. Do something in my life that I will remember this meeting for the rest of my years. Go ahead. Make your request known before God. Go ahead. Let your hunger rise before Him. Go ahead. Bring strong reasons before Him. Don't let my life end this way. Look upon me with mercy, O God. Let the light of your presence flood my path. Every darkness causing confusion, every darkness plunging men into corruption, dispel darkness from my life. Can you pray where you are? Just ask the Lord to touch you. When we gather like this as a congregation, our encounters with God, it comes to us personally. So you must isolate an encounter as we wait upon the Lord in prayers. Just go ahead and pray from the depth of your heart. Touch me, touch me, touch me. Don't let me return like this. I come in the volume of the book. It was written about me to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book, it was written about me to do your will, O God. Are you praying where you are? Don't let my story end like this. To do your will, O God. Come in the volume of the books, it was written about me to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Iba o iba. 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 We thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Cause your light to overshadow us. Bring us into strange dimensions in you. Great and mighty things which we do not know of. Cause it to be made bare before us. In the name of Jesus Christ we have prayed. Amen. Please turn to your left and your right. Shake hands with someone. Welcome them to the presence of God. You may be seated in the house of God. Yesterday I got the opportunity to give us a little background to the team, the executors. And while we were looking at the team yesterday, I advanced a few definitions for who an executor is. I showed us that God has many prophetic programs laid out for different timelines, and there is a need for alignment for God's counsel to prosper on earth. I also showed us yesterday that it is not only God that is interested in the earth. There are other spirits with vested interests. And every spirit is campaigning for the alignment of men. It is because of matters like this, any spirit that is able to subscript a vessel who surrenders enough, who yields enough, that vessel will become a priest for that spirit. And on account of the stewardship of that vessel, that spirit will reign, because man is the legal custodian of the earth. The moment God created the earth, he rested, because he had created a man in his image and in his likeness. Because he has replicated himself, two gods cannot rule over the domain at the same time. So he delegated authority to us. By delegating authority to us, it means we became senators over this realm. We will be the one to instruct the operations of the realm. It is on account of this that Satan even has an opportunity to even come into rulership, to even take dominion from man. It is because it was entrusted to man, that was why it was lost in the first place. But tonight, I want to camp around a few things in the spirit that I believe will help us maximize our time here on earth and align properly to the prophetic programs of God that has been written concerning us. I will make reference to Adam so that we understand God's original intent and blueprint for man. The Bible speaking in Genesis, God said, I want to begin our discourse tonight from that very simple statement. God said, I need you to realize that the concept of the Trinity is understood also by the triune nature of man. That the way you have spirit, soul, and body
all in a corporate persona. That is one of the most easiest way to explain the Trinity of God. Your soul is not different from you. Your spirit is not different from you. Your body is not different from you. All of these three distinct but yet one functioning part of your corporate persona makes your personality. If you remove the spirit, the body and the soul cannot function. If you remove the body, the spirit has no container to execute God's program on the earth. This is exactly how it is. When you look at Jesus, he is the corporate image of the invisible God. Meaning, every form of adventures, every form of characteristics, every form of information you have known about God, it is Jesus that animates the character of God. That is in the same way when God was going to create man, he set a process into motion. And that's where I want us to make an entrance from tonight. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I took you on that small part to show you what Trinity looks like, so that you will see that God did not need to say, because he was not talking to any audience. He is all God by himself. If he wanted to make man, and the reason for saying let us make man is to inform anybody, Jesus already told us in the days of his voyage that I do nothing of my own accord. It's what I see the Father do that I do. Jesus also told us that the Holy Spirit has no capacity to say something different from what he has taught us. That what the Holy Ghost will do is to bring us to remembrance the things that he has taught us. Meaning that the Holy Spirit has no capacity to sustain an interest, a posture, a position that is different from Jesus. And Jesus has no capacity to sustain a desire that is different from the Father. It then means that the way you can look critically at the Trinity of God and see that every single part of the triune being actually complements each other. This is God's original design for man. That it is going to stream, dominion will stream first from the Spirit, and the Spirit of man is a typology of God the Father, because he is the first person of the Trinity, and the first part of your being that was created is your spirit. Long before your body was formed, your spirit man transcends your body. And I will show you from scriptures why we need to take this part, so that you will see that the story of your life didn't start in time. Your story did not begin because a man married a woman. That is not when somebody like you was conceived. God already formed you. God already knew you. God already gave you a purpose long before any form of biological interaction happened. And it is because of scriptures like this. That's why Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 will come to bear. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before bodily parts came together, before your father asked your mother out, before she said yes, God says, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you. Meaning that the program of your life, the script of your destiny, is not in the hands of men. There is a clear-cut assignment God requires of you. And if you are going to keep that assignment, you must realize that your journey didn't start in time. And since it didn't start in time, it cannot end in time. When your days here are over, you will journey back to the realm of eternity where you came from in the first place. If you look at this scripture carefully, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, you will see God reiterating to a prophet that before bodily parts were formed in your mother's womb, I already knew you. What does he mean by I knew you? Genesis 1:26. Let us make man. Please, if you are a Bible student here, be bold to answer the question. It's very simple. That us, that is in Genesis 1:26. Let us. Tell me, who constituted the us? The Trinity. Was God talking to any other man? Was there any audience he was informing his intent? Let us make man. It means God was talking to himself. God was dialoguing with himself. And I will tell you why. It doesn't make sense for God to be talking to himself and say, let us make man. That time God was saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. As God was talking, it was that time that man was originally created. He creates all things by the word of his power. In fact, in John chapter 1, from verse 1, follow me, please. We do a few Bible studies so that you will see your eternal ordination, that your story didn't start in time. The attack that came for your life is in the light of the story you came to fulfill, so that you will know why your own story looks as hostile as it is. Everybody is not the same. It is the script we came to fulfill that is responsible for the attention darkness gives us. You will know when you see these things. So he began to show us in John chapter 1, from verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Him who? The Word. It means everything created is created by the Word. To reiterate it, he says in verse 3, without him was not anything made. Meaning, there is nothing that is created that didn't originate from the Word. It is the Word of God. Another scripture that corroborates my point is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the Word of God. Meaning, it is the Word of God that is the building material for every physical thing that you are currently interacting with. And he's showing us that the world as you know it is framed. Framed means it is built, it is built, it is put together by the Word of God. Whisper to somebody by your side, I came from the Word. Come on, say it like you mean it. I came from the Word. When a vehicle develops a fault, they take you to the factory. If it becomes too complex, they take it back to the factory where they made it from. If man ever runs into promotion, the Word of God is the place where you are factory reset from, because you originated from the Word. Inside the Word are spare parts. Spare parts to replace everything that darkness seeks to distort in your destiny. When you see the Bible saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, God was deliberately speaking man into existence before he formed what he spoke. This is the same reason why when you look at the last Adam, which is Jesus, they describe him as the Word made flesh. But Jesus is not the only Word of God that became flesh. Adam first existed as a set of words that God spoke. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Didn't stop there. God began to describe the capacities of what he wanted to make. They will have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle of the air, over the cattle of the field, over the birds of the air. Why was God explaining all these details? He was speaking man into existence before he formed man. The reason behind this is the same process every one of us went through before we entered time. You existed first as a set of words in the courts of God before a body was formed for you. So I show you a few scriptures to corroborate my point. In if you are here, you've been having reoccurring dreams, seeing yourself in exam halls, writing exams but couldn't submit, writing exams and you are blank inside the exam hall. People are submitting but you can't submit, and for some reasons either your pen is not working or the answer sheet is just empty because you don't know jack about the answer script. And it has happened more than once or twice. Just raise your hand above your head quickly. I need to pray. Come. I'm using him as a point of contact. There is a force field that I felt. It's a spirit of delay. Its assignment is to make sure all of God's prophetic program for your life is kept on a standstill, years will be accruing, but there will be no transformation. Wherever you are, you have such encounters. Wherever you are, just lay your hands on yourself. Precious Holy Spirit, we come against every siege. We come against every resistance. We come against every attack against your people. Let the siege of delay be broken. We usher them into seasons of exploits, seasons of advancement. In the name of Jesus Christ, I use your son as a point of contact, and by extension, I pray over everyone. Let the yoke of resistance be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please celebrate Jesus. I wanted to show us a few foundational truths that will help us maximize what God has in store for us. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's consider verse 5. For the law, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5.
Verse 5.
No, I said 5, not 9. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Everybody, if you fear the Lord, can you read with me as loud as you can? 1, 2,
go.
Whisper to somebody, say, a body has thou prepared me. It means there's somebody called me already. You arranged a body for that person so that he can participate in the affairs of men. Without a human body, no matter how passionate the agenda God gives you, if your body fails, you will leave the realm of men. Your body is your ticket to operate within the corridor of men. Now, because of this, you need to see that when the Bible is telling you that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet, it means your ordination is already detailed long before you were formed. It means God already knows the boundaries of your habitation. Let me show you another scripture that will give light to what I'm trying to advance. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, he says, lo, I come in the volume of books. It is written about me. Meaning, before I came, it has been detailed of what I will come and accomplish. I did not show up by mistake. Your life is not a product of biological relation. It's not because somebody slept with somebody that a creature like you was born. You were real in the realm of God long before there was any arrangement on earth. In fact, the reason why a body was secured for you is that arrangement God brought two people for. They came together to form your body. But the spirit component that will power the essence of that body is designed by God. And that spirit is a set of prophetic utterance. There is something God is describing that he wants to do. And when he speaks, the words that God speaks, they become spirit and they are alive. That is how your spirit man was created. It was created by a set of utterance. Something God was saying. For some of you, God was saying, I will move over Calabar, and my hand of power shall be evident in the land. As he is describing what he wants to do, those set of words become a spirit and they become alive. And they will be waiting for a human body to help that prophecy happen inside time. So God spoke you into existence before you were formed, just like Adam was spoken into existence before he was formed. So you are not actually the first person that will go through this procedure. God already spoke Adam into existence when he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. But then in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God then formed what he described. You too God described you before you were formed in your mother's womb. While you were in your mother's womb, it's formation that was happening. But you have been created already by the words of God. He already described something he wants to do. One of the clearest ways to know the set of words that God spoke that gave your spirit existence is the body of God that came inside your heart. Some of you listening to me, you came into time with a burden for revival. Some came with a burden for deliverance. Some came with a burden as a savior. We came, all of us, to come and execute a purpose of God. This is why when we speak about the subject of executors, they are men that animate the counsel of God. There are many prophetic programs of God, but the challenge are the vessels that can bring it to pass. A prophecy can tarry for aeon. It can tarry for years until the right man who can align with it appears in the scene. God will send many people to come and execute that prophecy, but there are schemes in darkness to ensure that you are compromised so that you are not able to live up to the assignment that you were sent to execute in the first place. This is why when you go to the graveyard, there are many prophets in the grave that never manifested as prophets. There are many kingdom financiers that died poor and never entered kingdom wealth. Because it is not enough that God speaks something about you. The word of God comes into intense resistance anytime it is manifested in time. So I have said all I've said to make one statement. Jesus is not the only word of God that became flesh. You too, once upon a time, he spake you into existence. He called you by name. He gave you an assignment. And on account of that, you too, you are the word of God that became flesh. This is the way we become executors. Executors means we are animating his prophetic program. There is something he wants to do that he spake about me. It is that thing that he spake that formed my spirit man. And since my spirit man is actually built by his utterance, it means I am a manifestation of something he spake. It means I am also God's word that became flesh. The matter I'm trying to advance will not make much sense until I support it with maybe one more scripture. God is going to bless us immensely tonight. Psalm 139 verse 16. If we have the NIV, I will appreciate it for the sake of emphasis. If you can help us source the NIV of Psalm 139 verse 16 so that it gives us some appreciation for these things. Everybody, please, can we read as loud as we can? 1, 2, go. Your eyes saw my unformed body. It has not formed. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. God knows that you will be in the University of Calabar now. He knows. He knows that in 2026, you will be sitting in a chapel like this. He knows that my own dealing, my own preparation will bring me to this point as at this moment. He knows that we will relate together. And everything I'm telling you now, he knows that as he was teaching me, I will also release it at some point, and you too will know. All the years ordained for me, he knows the boundaries of your habitation. He knows where you will live. He knows where you will open your eye into existence. He knows that they will give birth to you in this city, in this state, because it is that state that the prophecy was spoken into. So you are a prophecy sent into Calabar. I am a prophecy sent into Kaduna State. The prophecy was for a location. So if you know these things, you will no longer see yourself like a nameless man. You enter time as a prophecy that came to happen. What Satan is fighting is that prophecy. If you live for pleasure, you live for vanity, Satan has no business antagonizing you. Because the Bible says she that lives for pleasure is dead while she lives. Meaning, as long as the pulsating factor of your life is a frantic pursuit of pleasure, you are not a threat to Satan. Because you can't carry anything for God. You can't bear any weight for God. He has ordained every single step you make. He has seen your unformed body. He knows what you will look like. He knows the assignment actually carved out for you. He has seen you. Say, God knows me. Come on, say it again. God knows me. It is because of matters like this. When Israel was overrun by corruption and the worship of Baal took over the scene, when Elijah came to God and said, I am the only one left. Take me. I'm not better than my fathers. You know what God did? God gave him three names first before he told him of the reserve army he has. He says, okay, since you want to leave the scene, right now, journey through the way of Damascus. He says, go and anoint Jehu, anoint Hazael, and anoint Elisha. Anoint Hazael king over Syria. Anoint Jehu king over Israel. And anoint Elisha in your stead. Meaning, do you know how precious it is for God to know your name? God began to mention names of young men who were minding their business. Elisha was doing farm work, tilling the ground for his father. Elijah came and met him in the farm and threw a mantle on him. And suddenly, the script ordained for him. He came into time to be a prophet, but the story will not start from prophecy. Just as they gave birth to you in a hospital, as helpless as any other child. They looked at you and you were naked. Unknown to them, it is a deliverer that entered. Every one of us will come looking normal, but our script is captured in Zion. A season will come. That's what the Bible calls the season of your appearing. He said concerning John, he remained in the wilderness until the season of his appearing. Your appearing means the day your true identity will be unveiled. So you can be in the farm. People think we are together. All of us are in the same class. We are not together. Our assignment will differentiate us soon. And I'm telling you, you are in a generation where everybody is just flowing with the demonic drumbeat of corruption. Everybody is gravitating towards corruption. Those who defy the odds, those whose life can make bold to say, others may, but I cannot, they become visible to the radar of spirits. In the days when mantles are transferred, I love the introduction our daddy gave us. There are many prophecies hanging over this nation. It looks like it has started because the men that can fulfill it, they've not showed up yet. Every visitation of God requires levels of consecration. If God is going to operate power through your life, there is a consecration for power. If God is going to operate light through your life, if you will be a custodian of truths, the truths of God, there is a consecration he will bind you to. Every realm of God have specific consecrations. That's why when you read prophecies in scripture, no name tags are put to it. A virgin shall be with child. They didn't say Mary. It means any virgin who aligns properly can enter the prophecy. Saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. They didn't put any name. It means when the land becomes troubled enough, a man who is desperate enough to walk with God. Oh, there's only one place manifestation can happen. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm, 12 chapter 2, upon my holy mountain. It means that if you like be doing anything in the valley, you are wasting your time. The place where God actually manifests, the place where God unveils men from, is the mountains of God. It's called Zion. This is why when you come to Psalm 24 verse 3, it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? Because If everybody can ascend the mountain, everybody will emerge. This is why many are called, but only few can be chosen. Because the concentration requirement to emerge, they can't keep with it. They yield to pleasure. They gave themselves to wantonness. And on account of that, darkness mastered them. So he says, the unnegotiable criteria for emergence, he says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountain? He that has a clean heart and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is the criteria to ascend the mountains of the Lord. Now the challenge is that it is only on that mountain that men can emerge. But the criteria to climb that mountain is a clean heart and a pure heart. So Satan's attack over the generation is to make sure corruption saturates all the space. That you wanted to leave your hostel to the class. Between hostel and class, there are apostles in darkness. There are ambassadors of wickedness who have made themselves theaters of corruption, that through them men can be cut off. Oh, don't be trapped in the pool. We are at war. Many don't know. You see, even fashion is a declaration of war. When you see some dressing, you know that this is a militant in darkness. They came out this way deliberately to shake the faith of many. And if you are not careful, you will almost think that Satan came for you. But you are only responding to the darkness over Calabar. I am an itinerant minister. I travel around the country. I travel around the nations of the world. I have seen this pattern everywhere I go to. There are different shades of darkness over different regions. There are places you go to, the cord of darkness that prospers over them is greed. The greed is palpable. You can see it in everything they are doing. People can fight over 10 naira. There are places you go to, it is lust. There are places you go to, it is wantonness. There are places you go to, it is abominable expressions that you find among the people. So when you go, there is always a signature of God. This is the prince that ruled over the space. It is because of matters like this that Isaiah will write in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. He says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Cross darkness, the people. I need you to realize that Isaiah differentiated darkness from cross darkness. He says there is darkness that will cover the earth, then cross darkness will cover people. Meaning that Satan's agenda to master territory is to cover it with the government of darkness. When he says darkness will cover the earth, that is the territorial initiative of darkness. So there is a particular darkness over Calabar. I have lived in the north all my life, so I can tell you the darkness that is in the is the religious spirit. This is the reason why we travel with our own sound. We travel with our own atmosphere. There are times, even in the plane, you can sense the shift of energy. There are regions you enter, your prayer life dies immediately. You will need to start jacking it up. You will need a brother, call somebody and say, please stand with me in prayer. It's a taboo to pray in the night in those places, because the spirit that rule them, when they blow the horn, everybody come under sleep. You now came as a stranger and attack. They say, who is that? Who is that does not honor the law of the realm? So you become visible easily because you are going against the tide. What you have gone against is the darkness that covers. That darkness that covers, it has a government over it. Oh, that's why the Bible told us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. So darkness have a structure of leadership around it. There is intentionality in darkness. There is a program of mastering regions in darkness. There is a darkness that is responsible for the fashion of Calabar. So they have ambassadors that they push out, whose life will be a medium to make that dressing style popular. Part of the things they will have is visibility. They will have a strong grace, a strong capacity of influence. Be watching your television screen, be watching your phone screen. That dress sense you see by that so-called celebrity, watch your street, you will see it on the street soon. Because those men are gateways. Anything the spirit commit to them, they spread it over the regions. I know you entered a bus, you entered a car, and you saw a lady that was dressed half naked. I heard one of our brother complaining that people are dressed naked. You saw a lady dressed naked, and you say, ah, Jesus, look at the temptation that Satan came for me. Satan don't know you yet. He didn't come for you. You are only reacting to your atmosphere. There is a darkness that is darkness for territory. It's territorial darkness that you are shaking for. The darkness that was designed for man is called gross darkness. Darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. So this one is not for you yet. This one, they were only trying to shape an atmosphere. They were trying to shape a territory, and unfortunately they shaped you with it. Do you realize that that girl that you said, look at how she was dressed, that was why negative thought started passing my mind, that's why I now fell for fornication. Do you realize that you just met her in the bus? When she was dressing in the morning, she didn't know anybody like you existed. You guys met by chance. How did you think it was you that was the reason for that dress? She was dancing to the drum beats of the rulers of darkness. They wrote the script of fashion, so she was trying to align to that sound. And you became a cheap victim. They were modeling they were shaping a realm. In the process of shaping the realm, you now took the shape of the realm. You now look like the realm. I speak tonight to everybody who are making excuse of riotous living, making excuse of abominable living, making excuse of transgressing God's laws, and explaining it away that it's not easy. Look at how every... No. The darkness designed for us has not come yet. It is when your life begins to strike a chord, when you start going against the tide, that is the first time Satan now knows you. What will happen in the realm of the spirit is that your head will pierce through the darkness that covers Calabar. It will pierce through it like a canopy. A canopy has been busted, so that your light has penetrated it. Then they will ask from their rank, who is that? That's the only way you can be visible. You are visible to the degree of your consecration. There is a, you know what cover means? Darkness covers. Thank you. Cover means hide. It means even if God says a prophet is born, there is a darkness over Calabar whose assignment is to hide that dimension. He will never rise as a prophet. That one is sent to hide the intent of God. Even if God says a mighty revivalist has been born and the heaven is rejoicing, Satan knows that there are two layers of darkness you will need to overcome if you answer present to the roll call of Zion. If you are ever going to say, I come in the volume of books, it is written of me. If you emerge in your true capacity, you will overcome the darkness that covers the earth and also the cross darkness. I've not showed you what the gross darkness is. It is not only darkness that covers the earth. That's when many people fail. So Satan don't need to know you. Why do you think everywhere is saturated with corruption? From adverts of soap. Everywhere is nudity on public display. What the elders call nude content, what they will call pornography, is what we now entertain as though this one is not any evil. I went somewhere and I rebuked premarital sex. I rebuked it passionately. Told them how the bed should be on the fire. even the pastor of the church met me after the first session and told me that I should tone down my message. I should tone down. Because the spirit of the age has mingled its way so much that even the holy altars have been compromised. So it is now hard to tell people that you can't sleep with yourself before marriage. Because everybody is doing it. From Hollywood movies to everything you are turning, they have silently sold the concept to your head. They just showed you two people in a relationship in a movie, the next thing they are on the bed. It is actually shaping you subconsciously to make it look like it's normal. It's the darkness that covers the earth. Every mountain of influence has been dominated, from entertainment to sports to religion. Every mountain to politics. They want to put darkness over. If we will be executors, you must understand the warfare that is waging before you arrive. Many have fallen before you. They sent many before you. They didn't actually accomplish the purpose. So Satan is also counting that you too, you will be weak as those before you. But I will show you the antidote to that darkness. Because if you look critically in the narrative of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can we celebrate my brother, Pastor Jeffrey? That scripture is not only true for the earth, it is true for all of mankind. In the beginning, God created Pastor Jeffrey. But the realm where he formed Pastor Jeffrey is not in this three-dimensional world. He spoke him into existence. When Pastor Jeffrey is now born into this world that is shaped, that is broken, in Psalm 82, he says, all the foundations of the earth are out of course, meaning a distortion has happened to it. He says, they know not, neither will they understand, so they walk on in darkness. So because darkness has manipulated the skin, in the beginning, God created Pastor Jeffrey. But the moment Pastor Jeffrey is born, the second verse of Genesis chapter 1 will happen in his life. And Pastor Jeffrey became without form and void. Everything God designed about him was scattered. Even the script of his life, he forgot it. Guess what verse 3 now says? God said, let there be light. Meaning the antidote to the attack of darkness. And darkness's attack is to distort the pattern, distort the arrangement. He says, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The face of something means the representative of that thing. Pastor Jeffrey became without form and void, and darkness took responsibility for what has bedeviled Pastor Jeffrey. So the antidote to the attack of darkness, God came and said over Pastor Jeffrey, let there be light. It means everything God ordained you to be, that darkness attempted to manipulate, that darkness attempted to hide, there is one encounter God uses to correct everything back to its original form, light. But if you are a Bible student, you will know that there is no light without fire. Because every time you see the word light in the Bible, they were referring to fire. The days where the Bible was chronicled, the elders that received these things as inspiration, none of them ever imagined that an electric bulb would explode. It was not even part of their imagination. From the palace of kings to the houses of peasants, the only source of illumination they have for light is fire. It's either a flame or a torch or a lamp. But if you are looking for light, you must have fire. Including the sun that currently illuminates the world, the earth as you know it, the sun is actually fire. It's a combustion of gas. It's combustion going on there. It's fire that is responsible for brightness. is because of matters like this the Bible will speak concerning John. In John chapter 5, verse 35, he says he was a burning and shining light. Meaning, you burn first before you shine. If God wants to say, let there be light, you know what he does? He sets you on fire. Because if you have fire, light has come. The darkness over Calabar, you cannot escape it by complaint. You can't escape it by advice. You can't escape it by counsel. You go for fire. There is a fire that when it is lit inside you, even if the pressure is heavy, the fire, it will, the light will shine in darkness. The Bible says the darkness comprehends it not. The antidote to darkness is light. But to get light, you go for fire. If you must shine, you must burn. The fire on the altar must never go out. The priest must add wood to it every morning. If you see that there is a corruption that is beginning to become too strong on your soul, even if you say, I will live holy, I will stand, I will not fall, there is a strong weight that comes heavy and bends you against your will. There's only one antidote. Go for fire. It is because he went for fire. The Bible spoke concerning him. He says, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He was not born as light. He born. It is fire that is the source of light. If your altar can come under fire, the darkness over Calabar is dealt with. Also, the gross darkness. Oh, this one, Satan will start studying you. You must understand that Satan has the advantage of time. He has been on ground for long. He has handled different men from your bloodline, so he understands the besetting sin that masters the people from your background. He knows that lust is compatible with your background. Have you seen families where everybody is a victim of one particular area of weakness? It's a weakness of the bloodline. Satan knows that this is where your great-great-grandfather fell. He fell for this. So when you saw and your priesthood begins to become a threat, he singles your attack into that one singular weapon that has prospered for many generations. So they go and look for what your father fell for. They go and look for the same thing that brought your grandfather down. And they trace it in the family. It has been bringing many men down. It was responsible for why many could not lift up their head. Then they will bring such a thing called the besetting sin. It's a sin that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us. If they come for the gross darkness, what they are looking for is the besetting sin. The sin that is compatible with your lust and your desire. It is because of this James says, if any man is tempted, let him not say he is tempted of God. It is the lust that is in your heart. It is that lust that has been explored. Satan will never present anything to you that you don't like. He will actually study your proclivities, study your tendencies. This is the warfare that makes sure, even if you were spoken into time as a great deliverer, as a great savior, you would never be able to emerge. This is why many died without fulfilling prophecy. And this is the same story Satan hopes to achieve in your life. Some of you, as of now, I called those cases out particularly to show you that some of us are already behind time. The realm is showing you that the exams that qualify. You see, every time God speaks to you, he uses things you can relate with to pass spiritual message to you. Showing you that the examinations for stepping into new cadres of responsibility, you have not been able to pass the test in the spirit. They sent you into time as a savior. Now the people in the family are already dying. And the man God sent as their hope is already on ground. But he was bound hand and foot by the darkness that covers. Because of that darkness, your identity will never be seen. The reason why the Bible says darkness shall cover. Cover means it will hide. What God said you are, it will make sure that that description will never see the light of the day. But in your heart of hearts, you will know that I am more than this. I came for an assignment. A warrior inside you will be crying, but there is a darkness that will bound you against your will. I have people here looking at me who will fall for the appetite that they have sustained, commit iniquities, and then cry after it. On one picture, they can see what God wants to do with their life. On another picture, the weakness that the appetites that Satan has triggered in them have bound them. I sense in my spirit a need for us to pray. Just 1 minute anywhere you are. Your prayer is simple. My story will not end like this. I will not die a prisoner. I will not die a prisoner. Satan came for some of you very early. He came before you even knew the difference between right and wrong. He came and introduced strange cords of addiction. Because he knew that if he does not make the move quickly, if your day of emergence comes, you may become a threat to his programs. He used strange friends, to introduce you to strange addictions. So that before the season of your appearing comes, you are already bound hand and foot. Can you cry to the Lord? Deliver my soul from corruption. Are you the one who is to come? Are you the child of destiny that they prophesied? Or should we wait for another? Have you chosen to live in wantonness? Have you chosen to allow pleasure? To allow pleasure bind your soul? Or tonight, you will subscribe to fire. Set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire. I need light. I need light. But to get light, go for fire. Carry fire, brother. Carry fire. The darkness over Calabar is waiting for a man with blazing purity, so that the day your light breaks forth, the people that sat in darkness, forget stage, forget platforms, go for fire. Anywhere fire hits you becomes your stage. My story will not end like this. I knew. There are rulers of darkness whose assignment is to master my soul, to make sure I am shaped to look like my background. But I rebel. I will not end up like this.
Transforming redemption is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us on 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anacasopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacasomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anacaso Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.